Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
And you see, he's leaking. He will need major repairs.
It hurt. Got some work done, stitches. Wasn't able to play. Wanted to be there with his teammates.
Dale Arnold.
30,000 little kids that are going to have a similar memory to what I had. That on steroids.
Rich Keefe.
You're going to be the new Jeopardy champion.
What a game. Oh, my God.
Dale and Keefe. You're going after Doug Vaughn?
I've never met Dino.
I would summarily kick each and every one of their asses.
You've never met this guy? He's going to fight everybody.
He's going to fight all of us.
Bitches. On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Former Boston Bruins defenseman, Hall of Fame defenseman Ray Bourque will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll break down what happened last night to the Bruins in their 4-2 loss to the St. Louis Blues. And maybe more importantly, what they can do going ahead to Game 5. I will tell you this. We mentioned that there was a media availability and that at least at the moment, Bruce Cassidy has been speaking to the media in St. Louis before they hop on a plane and head out of there.
What a pain in the ass.
I know.
Like, it's your day to fly out, and you're like, oh, I got to go talk to the media again. Like, but anyway, what'd he say?
A couple of things here. No update on Chara's facial injury.
Yeah.
As we expected, he'll be examined further when the team lands in Boston this afternoon.
Yeah, they got a good dentist.
He said the Krejci line needs to change the way they're playing to generate more offense.
No kidding.
Cites DeBrusque needing to play more from the inside scoring areas. He's exactly right. And then this one jumped out at me. Cassidy said if Chara and Grizzlick cannot play in Game 5, they may need to consider using 11 forwards and dressing 7 defensemen. Now that, I assume,
really?
Means both Kampfer and Vaakanainen would be in the lineup.
Wow. And now you're talking about, you're really scraping it now with your defensemen. And then so, the first person you would think of would be David Backes, but is that the only option there? If you're going to sit one forward right now, would it be Backes?
And given the physical nature of the Blues,
I know I think I need him out there. I know he's not out there a ton, but again, 9 minutes, led the team in hits. I think I still want him out there. Now, then again, who are the other options? Danton Heinen. You know, we had a caller say didn't like Danton Heinen. He played under 12 minutes, was a minus one. He had one shot. You know, as far as he had fewer shifts than almost everybody. Backes and Achari are the only guys that had fewer shifts.
Yep.
Heinen's not on the power play. He was on for 43 seconds shorthanded. So he did a little bit of that. But he'd probably, because the fourth line, you're keeping all those guys. They're all valuable. So you're looking at the second and the third line, which is crazy. I mean, that's just the way they have a weird second line, right?
And
the fact that you'd even go there first, but like that. I would think Backes, but Heinen might be another candidate.
I mean, if they even go that route, he said they'd have to consider it, and obviously they'll consider everything.
Yeah.
And I think his concern here is the obvious move is to put Kampfer in
right. If
Chara can't play. But the whole left shot, right shot thing concerns
them. Could
screw him
up a little bit.
And I think that's why he's considering the possibility of dressing that extra defenseman.
But why even, if you're so worried about the left shot, right shot thing, just get the guy that has the right or the correct shot that you need and go from there,
I think
right?
His concern, though, is he's a kid who, you know, hasn't played a lot in the second half of the season for Providence because of injuries, and now we're going to stick him in the fifth game of the Stanley Cup final. And
well, then don't play him at all, then, is my point.
Drop either, the training wheels off.
My point would either be you're out there or you're not out there. I mean, I guess unless you think that you can make up for it and you can double shift with the forwards and you think about it, this team now has played over four periods of hockey with just five defensemen. So they're used to playing, the defensemen are used to playing undermanned, are the forwards used to playing that undermanned. I'm sure they can get by with it, but I don't know what the ideal situation would be.
Torrey Krug was a minus three last night.
Yeah, he was.
Charlie Coyle was a minus two.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Clifton was a minus two.
He felt like a minus five. Clifton, I feel like that was his worst game of the playoffs. He just, and which is too bad too, because he needed more of him. He had that one shift where he was just on the ice forever. They couldn't get the puck out of there. They couldn't clear it, and he's been pretty good. Like, I think, you know, for a guy that was probably not going to play had Kevin Miller been healthy, at least it would have been a decision to make, but he might have been on the outside of it. He's gotten a lot of time, and I think overall he's been pretty good. He's made some memorable plays. Last night, certainly not his best.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to Ray Bourque at the bottom of the hour. Let's get back to the calls with you guys. James is in Connecticut. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on?
Hey, James.
Hi. I want to bring up the point where a lot of people are against Chara, Wiggins, and some of your callers.
Right.
Now, according to them, now that Chara's going to be out game five, it's a guaranteed win for the Bruins now. Well, now we're going to get a real defenseman going in there, because Chara screwed it all up for everybody. Isn't that ridiculous?
Well, that is ridiculous.
A couple of people who have taken it to that extreme level. One of them works on this radio station. I would suggest that you don't know what you got until he's gone. He's playing like 23, 24 minutes a game.
No, I mean, part of that argument.
And now that I assume that means you want Kampfer to take those minutes?
Probably not. Well, I think you want somebody. You just don't want them to have to go with five defensemen would be the argument.
Sure.
Because he didn't play game four of the Carolina series, and they won in a shutout, right? So, I mean, that might be one thing. And again, Carolina, not
they
that talented.
Completely checked out.
Well, and they're not that talented. Like, I don't know. I still don't know how they got to the conference finals. So it's not like you're going up against even a team like the Blues, who have some guys like Tarasenko who can, and O'Reilly. So, yeah, you'd rather have Chara in this series than in that series is more important. But that was one game that you saw without him, and the team defensively was fine.
617-779-7937. David's in New Hampshire. Hi, David.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hi.
I am somebody who doesn't know much about hockey. And, it's the playoffs, it's the finals, and I find it really exciting. So I watch. Here's what I saw, and I would like to know if you think this is right. I saw one team with crisp passes and a strategy. And, it seemed like each time the Blues had the puck, when their passes went to someone, they went to someone with, accuracy and handled well. And they seemed to be in control. When the Bruins had the puck, it seemed like they were kind of flipping it down the ice to get it as far away as possible. And each time when the Blues attacked, there are those two guys, I don't know what they're called, just in front of the blue line to keep it from going out. When it would come around, they would be there and keep it in. And when the same thing happened on the Bruins side, it seems like they weren't there. So I'm wondering, A, do you agree with this? And B, what is that, if so? I mean, is it coaching? Is it that they were getting pushed around physically or what?
I think the Blues, for the second time in this series, played really, really well. I thought they were better last night than they were in game two, but they played really well. And the Bruins, for the second time in this series, played poorly.
I think part of it is, I mean, they were the more desperate team. They just were. I mean, you're down 2-1 in the series. You are. They came out flying around. I think they were so physical, but they were doing it, cleanly, and they weren't having to kill off a lot of penalties. And I think they were playing, they had such confidence there, right? They scored a goal less than a minute into the game. Hard to beat that momentum-wise. You have the crowd going crazy. You score right away. And even with the back and forth, still, you had that. They had a jump all night long. I also felt like there were so many times where the Blues weren't on a power play, but it felt like they were.
Yes.
Like when they're controlling the puck and you're looking around, you're like, well, wait a minute. The Bruins also have five guys. Why is the puck in the zone like this? And to the caller's point about the crisp passes, it just seemed like because guys were in open spots. Like they were just, like they were doing such a great job moving the puck around. And I think part of that might be, on the Bruins, just not being in the right spot.
Joe's in Rhode Island. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Dale.
Hi.
Hi, Dale. Three things. I thought that John Moore played well enough last night. I don't think he really hurt them. My second thing is you and I differ on this. I thought Heinen had his worst game of the series last night. He just did nothing. Nothing. Got a penalty. Turned the puck over. Defensive end coverage. He just did not look good at all. And my third thing is...
He didn't have a great game, but he has not been a problem for you. In fact, just the opposite. He's been a big part of you being where you are right now.
Well, Dale, you and I, once again, we differ on that. I just don't see it with him. But he was in and out of the lineup as the year went on. But the big thing, the thing that I'm hoping for, hoping against hope, is that maybe, just maybe, where Chara got cut with the beard and all that, maybe they were concerned about infection and so forth, and they just didn't want to mess with it in the locker room.
Joe, that's not it.
No, I don't think so.
As Bruce Cassidy said, he needs some dental work. It was inside the mouth. Now, he got some stitches outside as well. Obviously, you could see that. But, no, they're concerned about more than just an infection because of his playoff beard.
Yeah.
Hi, Dale.
What's up, man? I got an outside-the-box one for you to sit. If they go with the 11 forwards, 7 defensemen, it might sound crazy.
Uh-oh.
But he's been awful. Jake DeBrusk, how about this? Against Toronto, 7-game series, 2 points. Against Columbus, 6-game series, 3 points. Carolina sweep, whole team look great, 2 points. This current series against the Blues, 4 games, 2 points, both assists. He has 3 goals in the postseason, and he's on their power play. Like, look at all the other guys on the team that have had more production than him. He's playing with Krejci, and he's on the number one power play. That's insane lack of production.
Danton Heinen, as we sit here now, and I know this stat drives some people nuts. That's fine. That's why I use it.
I know. You're going plus minus, aren't you?
He's third on the team.
Yeah.
Zdeno Chara's first at a plus 12. Brandon Carlo's second at a plus 8. And then you've got Danton Heinen and Charlie McAvoy tied for third at plus 7 each.
What do you think of my sit to Brusk take? That's my guy now.
The concern I have with it, you are not... You're not wrong when you point out
how
he has struggled.
Right. Yeah.
I guess the problem is you feel like he could maybe walk into one somewhere. You know, is David Backes going to?
Yeah, maybe.
And the other thing DeBrusk is part of your power play.
DeBrusk?
Where Backes is not.
DeBrusk? Yeah, but get him off the power play maybe. You know, I think they could do that. He has 9 points in 21 games. Backes has 5 points in 15 games. It's not even that drastic. DeBrusk has one more goal than David Backes and one more goal than Connor Clifton. He has the same number of goals as Joachim Nordstrom. Like, what?
By the way, who is a beast.
Oh, I like him. My point is...
I'm just giving him credit because you brought up his name.
Yeah, no, he's been
good.
How
many shots has he thrown himself in front of?
Oh, a ton. I mean, that one stretch that he had, that one...
And again, last night, he was blocking stuff.
He's getting no problem. I just think he's been... the biggest underachiever, too. Because some of the other guys that he complained about, you know, whether it's a caller complaining about Danton Heinen or somebody complaining about David Backes, whoever it might be, what did Heinen have? 11 goals in the regular season? Like, he's not this crazy goal scorer. He's not playing with Krejci. He's not on the top power play, all of that.
But that line has been so effective. Why would I mess with that?
The third line, you mean?
With Coyle and Johansson. I mean, to the previous caller's point, you know, I don't think I want to mess with it.
I think the two best candidates would probably be Backes. If again, this is assuming they do the 7 defenseman, 11 forward thing.
And all Bruce Cassidy said is if Grizzlick and Chara are unavailable for Game 5, they'd have to at least consider the possibility of dressing 7 defensemen.
Now, that means
Kampfer and Vaakanainen.
So at that point, I would consider sitting Jake DeBrusk. I think you have to look at that second line. I mean, obviously, Krejci's going to play. So you look at the two wings and you say, which guy is doing more for the team right now? And it might be Backes throwing his weight around. Even though he's only out there 9-10 minutes, maybe just having that physical presence helps you more than whatever it is that Jake DeBrusk is doing.
Jim's in Natick. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on?
A couple of callers ago stole my thunder a little bit, but I felt a lot last night that it was almost like when we were in the offensive zone, it was the Blues have 5, we have 3. Every time they cleared it out, there was no defenseman at the corners to keep it in, and vice versa. On the other hand, when they were in our offensive zone, there was always a defenseman on the corners to catch that puck. It was like night and day. I couldn't believe what I was watching. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe they just come back and outskill them next game. But I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I mean, again, I give credit to the Blues in terms of how well they played. I thought they played their best game of the series. Better than the game 2
way
win.
Better.
I mean, it was their best game of the series. And basically, they won by a goal with an empty netter.
Yeah. Because the Bruins were also worse in game two. Like, both teams played worse, right. I think, in game two. The Blues were just better, and the Bruins kind of lost that one. This one, I mean, the Bruins were in it for a while, for sure, and it wasn't like they completely laid down, but, you know, the Blues were just, they were the more physical team, and they just controlled the action way more. Like, if you go back through and just say, like, who was controlling the puck, who had the momentum, time and zone, all that stuff, it was certainly in favor of the Blues.
I guess if he did go with 7D and 11 forwards, I'm probably going to step away from your DeBrusque thing only because of the power play. I'm probably back on Backes. And I know what he brings physically.
But can't you stick somebody else? Like, DeBrusque is basically in front of the net on the power play, right?
Well, I mean, theoretically, you could do that with Backes. They were doing that earlier in the season. He wasn't as good at it as DeBrusque.
I know,
is.
But DeBrusque has one power play goal in 21 playoff games.
But he's had, like, four power play points. He's not scoring goals, but he's helping to assist on them.
He has three power play assists. I mean, this is a power play that scores all the time. They're like 50% on the road. Like, they've scored a million. Like, look at all the power play goals and assists that they have. I mean, I just think he's been really absent the whole run. Like, you can't even point to at least he had this game where he was, like, on fire, or he had this series where he was really good. It's been nothing from him since game one against Toronto.
Tom's in Providence. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Dale. How you going?
Good.
Hey, I have to agree with that other caller about Danton Heinen, but I do like Danton Heinen. He just needed to channel his inner Bergeron on that third goal when him and McAvoy had their backs to that forward. I believe it. Who was it? Who scored that third goal?
Ryan O'Reilly.
The rebound goal?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it was Heinen that needed to back check. All he had to do was lift that stick. Now, I say that, you know, I mean, we're not on the ice, obviously. These guys are very good players.
Sure.
And I also agree with you about Nordstrom. Number 20, that kid is a beast. He is so underrated. He battles in the corners. He's doing what Heinen and, to be honest with you, blatantly, Pastrnak will not do. He won't battle in the corners. I see Pastrnak and Heinen skating around the zone, and they're... It's aggravating, but moreover, what happened last night, you're absolutely right. Blues played their best game.
Oh, yeah, Pastrnak, and Tom brings up a good point. Pastrnak had that one earlier in the first period where he was skating over towards the board, like behind the goalie, and it was like he wanted nothing to do with it. He
he's
just kind of like
pounded.
Led up completely.
Yeah, he's getting pounded.
He's not and having a good time up there.
As the series goes on, that takes a toll.
Well, good. I mean, for the Blues,
and,
anyway.
No, I
that's
the,
what
no,
you
I'm
do.
Saying I give the Blues credit when I say that.
But that's tough. I mean, it's still, I know it's probably, he's probably in pain or whatever else, but it's also game four of the Cup Final. You can't just give up the puck like that or not fight for it.
No, you'd think that maybe you'd want to...
It's a pretty big game.
Yeah, it sort of matters a little bit. Matt's in Wilmington. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Pastrnak is afraid to get hit. Started in the Toronto series when they targeted him. It was effective. St. Louis is doing the same thing. I had three instances in my head last night where he bailed on playing the puck because he was anticipating getting hit and cost turnovers. Mm-hmm. That's a big reason why the Bergeron line is ineffective, because Pastrnak has been turning the puck over all playoffs. And then DeBrusque, he's done nothing to warrant the ice time. He should be the guy to sit for at least a game, and then maybe that charges his battery or shakes him up a bit and he can come back and play in game six. But at least...
Matt, I understand what you and Rich are talking about. The only hesitation I have here is you've got a power play despite going 0-for-2 last night that is clicking at historic levels. He's a part of that power play. Do I want to do anything that disrupts it?
Yeah, but he's the worst part of that power play.
Has he stood out on the power play, or is he just... is he just there getting points because he happens to be on the power play?
He doesn't have that many points
David
either. They've scored 23 power play goals. He has three assists. So it's not like he's lighting the world on fire.
He's being the recipient of a good power play that's around him. He has been an absolute puddle. Give him a break. Bring Kuhlman in. Let Backes play, because at least, one, he provides protection for Krejci. He's the only semblance of physicality now on this team, especially with Chara being out. He can get in front of the net. He aggravates those guys and puts the Blues out of position because they're going out of their way to try and hit him. You have to keep Backes in.
Yeah, I want Backes in, too. I'm with you.
I understand the argument. He is obviously a physical presence, but he's got so little trust from the coaches, though. He always has the least amount of ice time. Always.
Right. Yeah, but part of that is he's not adding minutes on the power play right. or shorthanded, and there's been so many chances for both of those all series long, really all postseason.
I mean, last night there wasn't much power play, there wasn't much penalty kill, and he still had.
For the first time, you know, there was two power plays for the Bruins, three for the Blues, but we've seen games where there's been five for each team all playoffs long, and that's fine, but I still think that gives you, like, especially if Chara's out, we all assume Chara's going to be out. If Backes is the most physical player, who's next? Maybe McAvoy? Like, they don't have a lot of guys that want to play physical.
By the way, speaking of getting pounded, they are pounding Charlie McAvoy.
He got crushed right into the
That was the Sanford hit right over by the bench area there.
New Hampshire kid.
Head
shout out.
Snaps.
Yeah, that was right. He got absolutely
pasted. Give him credit.
That was a good clean hit. Got,
no problem with the hit at all. And to McAvoy's credit, he got right back up.
He did bounce up.
But when I saw it, I went, that's not going to be
good. That one looked like it. That one hurt watching that replay. I was surprised how quickly he kind of bounced up from that, too.
Thankfully, he was able to. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, what's going on?
Nothing.
All right. I promised a poem, so I'm going to give a poem.
Here we go. Our Bruins right. Poet Laureate audition. Here's Mike in Wakefield. What do you got?
All right. Respect for Doug Vaughn, his pride is not made of glass. Dino Costa threatened my guys again, and I'll come down and kick your ass. My intent was to tell the tale of the win, but the bees made us blue and let too many pucks in. Our captain, Big Z, took a puck to the face, and the rest of the boys couldn't play out in space. They made too many passes with not enough shots. Couldn't get out their zone or defend in the slots. Game 5 needs a change with more pucks on their sticks. I told you, Dale and Keith, the series would go 6.
Very well done,
you know,
Mike. That is really
call.
Well done.
That might be the best call Mike's ever made.
That was a good call by Mike.
Got in, got out. Wasn't apparently okay, Jason.
Rossi,
calm down.
Good Lord,
he apparently wasn't, you know, making his deliveries where he normally
guess
is.
Not, so. But that was well done. That was he was trying. He had to spin that. I could hear the paper too at the beginning. You hear the paper?
He's I mean, you got to write that down. He's not Doug Vaughn.
No, Doug Vaughn's in a league of his own. But you know, that's a pretty good, especially after a loss. I know a lot of people probably wouldn't want to write a poem after a loss. That's a tough day for a lot of people.
Doug didn't want to do it after a loss.
Doug was really defeated. I'm looking forward to hearing what Doug had to say today because they have life now. St. Louis has got to be feeling real good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll talk to a former Boston Bruins Hall of Fame defenseman, Ray Bourque, about last night's game and looking ahead to Game 5. Dale and Keith, though, first have to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coverage of the Bruins and Stanley Cup Final on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Toyota dealers and Atlantic Power Cleaning. Joining us on the line right now is former Boston Bruins defenseman, Hall of Fame defenseman Ray Bourque. Good morning, Raymond.
Hey, Dale. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. Let's talk about Zdeno Chara first. What will it mean for the Bruins if Chara is unable to play on Thursday?
Well, it's definitely going to hurt, you know, especially on the PK and shutdown role. It's going to hurt big time. I'm hoping it's I don't know if you were there, Dale, when I got the puck in the mouth against Atlanta.
Yep.
Back in the day. You know, he's got 2 days off. If it's teeth and cuts and stuff like that, I'm optimistic that he'll be able to play. If it's a broken jaw, then that's something different. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's teeth and something to do with that because I've been through that, and you find a way to come back from that.
Yeah, that was my question for you. Can you explain to us what it's like to take a puck to the face? Because just sitting there watching it, I can't think of anything worse than that.
Well, I know how it feels. So I took a slap shot right up my stick just like he did, and I lost my 4 teeth with roots and all, so... I remember going into the room and getting all stitched up and trying to get back out there, and the doctors won't let you back out there. So, yes, we are a little crazy when it comes to coming back from stuff sometimes. But I know that if he can, he will. That's the man he is, and that's what we do in this game.
there are those who say that the game has passed him by at the age of 42. He's not the player he used to be, and that the Bruins would be better off if he wasn't playing. What do you think?
Well, I totally disagree. And again, I'll go with the job that he does on penalty killing. Again, talk to his opponents that play against him. Yes, there may be times that he may be exposed with a little quickness or stuff like that, but you know, he's playing with a pretty good young player and McAvoy that skates and is able to move and cover some of that that stuff. But believe me, the Bruins are way better with Big Z in the lineup.
Now, we've seen twice now in this series where the Bruins have had to play with five defensemen for most of the game. Grizzlick goes down in game two, and then Char, obviously, early second period last night. What kind of pressure does that put on the other five remaining defensemen when they know they don't have the six guys anymore?
Well, I think it's a good challenge. I mean, I didn't mind the minutes. I know it's totally a different game now, but you just got to step it up. And you know that you want to pick up your teammate that has gone down. You want to support everybody else in terms of knowing that you might have to do a little more, but go out there and get the job done and find a way to get it done. And that's a challenge that I think any player, whenever it pops up or it happens, that you got to be ready for.
Craig Berube's got this team playing a certain way. They've gotten to the Stanley Cup final playing a certain way. They're hard, they're physical, they're heavy, and I think he's made the determination that's how he can beat the Bruins. What kind of toll does that take, though, on a Bruins team that has the advantage in terms of speed and quickness?
Well, if you look at game two and four, you know, that's when they were really effective in playing their game, and they're, both those games were bounce-back games that they've been known to do throughout the playoffs. But then you look at game one and game three where the Bruins dominated. So I think, you know, this series has gone two ways where when the Bruins have won their games, they've played their game. And when the Blues have won their games, they've played their game. So it makes for a very interesting fifth game. I can't wait to see it. And if the story continues, looks like the Bruins are in for a great game on game five, I hope.
Now, the Blues scored less than a minute into the game. Ryan O'Reilly scores on that wraparound goal. As a defenseman, is that one that you're hoping that Tuukka Rask can make that save, or is that just a great play by O'Reilly?
That's a great play by O'Reilly, and Tuukka almost got there. It just went off his blade. He was there, but just a second late. But if you look at that play develop, he had to make that first save where he was kind of locked in on that right side. And once you're locked into that side, then to try to get to the other post in that amount of time, I mean, you got to give the guy credit on how fast he got to that other post.
As we watch the Bruins in these, especially this final series, there are times when that first line looks great, and there are times when that first line, frankly, looks invisible. And last night, you know, wasn't as bad as game two, but what do you think's going on with that trio? Because I think through the regular season, they were the best line in hockey.
Yeah, and I think they still can be. So I wouldn't give up on that line. You know, hey, and they're playing against, you know, they got a big target on their back. Everybody that's playing against them know that they're one of the best lines in the league, and they're trying to shut them down and play them hard. And it's tough. Sometimes they're not getting much room up there. And you know, like a game like yesterday, the Bruins could not break out of their zone. They were under so much pressure that first pass never was a clear one that maybe gave the forwards a little time to make a play or to get going. And in all zones, they were smothered yesterday. So, you know, when they're given a little time, a little space, they'll make things happen, but things are tight out there, and you got to give Blues a lot of credit for shutting that line down.
What do you think this series, and especially the last couple of games, have been like for David Backes, who obviously played his whole career with St. Louis, was a captain, never got to this point with this team. Now his first trip to the Stanley Cup final, he's playing against his former team. I know he doesn't play a ton of minutes. He's not the same, you know, player that he once was, but what do you think it's like for that experience to face off against his old team?
Well, it's got to be an incredible experience to start with, is just being in the finals for the first time. after all these years, and then, you know, playing against the team that you've played for so long, and I think he still lives there in the off season. So it's got to be extra special. I'm sure that you know, he wants to hoist a cup and have his party in St. Louis this summer. So a lot of incentives there for him, and it's got to be very special. And this guy's still a warrior, you know. Yeah, he might have lost a step, but this guy's a gamer, and he's a great teammate and a great leader.
When you think back to winning a cup yourself with the Colorado Avalanche, can you imagine if you were playing against the Boston right. Bruins in that final series?
No.
That would have been awful, wouldn't it?
I don't think the Bruins at that point were, were probably going to be making it.
No, but there's no chance for that to happen.
Right. Now, with watching back, you know, I'm with you. Not the same player, but he's still a lot of toughness. I think he should stay in the lineup. But with the way that they have gone now after losing this game, is there any – obviously, they may have to replace Chara there on the back end. But would you try to do anything different with the lines or jumble up some guys, maybe sit a guy? Or because this is pretty much the team that has gotten you here, would you stick with them for Game 5?
Well, now you got. I've got to tell you that I've been listening a little bit, and I know who you're talking about. And beware of when you're thinking about sitting the brush.
Yes.
I'll tell you that Alex Tanguy for us was struggling in that finals. The whole finals, he was struggling. And in Game 7, he came up with two humongous goals. So I would not give up on DeBrusk. He's a guy that's played well for you all year. He's a guy that might have been struggling a little bit here. You know, throughout the playoffs off and on, but he's a guy that could come through for you. And he's one of your young guys. He's going to be one of your core guys going forward. So I would not give up on a guy like that. You know, what they do in the backside in terms of if Big Z can't play and Grass can't play and if you're going to go with an extra defenseman, I'm not sure on that. But I don't think that's one of the guys that I would hold out of the lineup. You might, I don't know who they decide on keeping out, but I wouldn't go that way.
Do you think the Blues were embellishing last night?
They all do. I mean, you know, nobody just takes a stick to the face anymore and doesn't react. I mean, you're kind of coached to react now, and it's like, because if you don't react, you probably don't get the call, and everybody's responsible their sticks now. So if anything comes up right by your visor, your face, or touches you anywhere in the head, you're coached to react. So that's what people do now.
So, Ray, if they do go with seven defensemen like Cassidy suggested, there's a chance that they may do. If they had to sit a forward, I know you wouldn't sit DeBrusk. That's who I would sit. Who would you take out of the forward group?
I'm not the coach.
Come on!
And, oh, by the way, Alex Tanguay had 21 points in 23 games in 01. A little bit different than DeBrusk.
No, believe me. He was struggling big time.
Not like DeBrusk was. You got to admit that, Ray. No, DeBrusk has been awful.
Hey, I'll tell you that he was not in a good place, all right? I was there.
All right, I'm just saying, so was he bad the whole playoffs or just in a couple of games?
He wasn't bad the whole playoffs, but I'll tell you, in the finals, he was struggling big time. And not only on the ice, it was like, and I'm not saying off the ice in terms of not doing the right things, He was, you know, and he found himself, I'll tell you. Thank God, because that kid was so talented. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to give up on kids that are talented and are going to be a big part of your team. And so I would not lose faith in DeBrusk. I think he's going to find a way to get it done or to get something done. Or so he's not one that I would mess around with.
You are taking part in a fundraiser to benefit the Bruins Foundation. Some lucky fan out there will win the opportunity to win suite tickets for Game 5, and I mean in a suite. Oh, they're also suite
they're
as well.
Suite, but yeah, tickets.
They're suite tickets for Game 5, an opportunity to get together with you as well and meet you. How can people participate and find a way to, if they can win this?
Well, the tickets are going for quite a lot of money. For three different prices, you could get an incredible deal here. They get two suite tickets and to spend the game with me. And my grandson, I got to say, that is so excited about going to the game. But the Bruins Foundation is putting this on. You go to bruinsraffle.org, read all about it, and you get to spend, hopefully, to see the Bruins win Game 5. And who knows, may not come back for Game 7. Maybe it's wrapped up in St. Louis, but this should be a fun game on Thursday, and really look forward to it. The Bruins have done incredible things. Bob Sweeney being president does an incredible job for them. So great opportunity, and been a big supporter of the Bort Family Foundation. So I'll be there. Look forward to seeing the winners, and it's a deal, I'll tell you, for the price of the tickets and what you could get for in terms of chances to win this raffle. It's quite a deal. So look forward to seeing whoever wins this, and we're going to have a great time watching Bruins win a big game.
Raymond, we appreciate the time as always. I hope the next time we talk, it'll be in the aftermath of a Stanley Cup championship here in Boston.
Sounds good to me, Bill.
See you, Ray.
Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.
That is Ray Bork, Boston Bruins Hall of Fame defenseman. And an opportunity, by the way, it's pretty nice for Game 5. BostonBruinsFoundation.org.
Mm-hmm.
You buy a raffle ticket, and if your raffle ticket gets chosen, you get to spend the game with Ray and his grandson.
We also are going to be giving away tickets to Game 5.
We are.
How do you like that?
I don't know when, but we are.
I know. They're not the clincher, but you know what? I'd still go.
Probably.
I'd still take it in.
Probably.
Still pretty
you
good.
Know what? I think I will go. What you the know hell? What?
Why not, Dale?
I think I'll be there.
You should.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30 today. There is the threat of bodily harm. I don't know much about Dino Costa from a physical perspective. I would suggest that he might want to rethink this before he challenges, well, as he says, Faria to a fight. But we'll play you.
Those are fighting words.
Oh, yeah. We'll let you hear what Dino says. And the poet laureate, Doug Vaughn, did have something today.
Of course.
We'll get to that as well. But we'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah.
Over to James. Now he had 23,400, and his response was correct. His wager, a modest one for the first time. That takes him to 24,799. So, Emma, it's up to you. If you came up with a correct response, you're going to be the new Jeopardy champion. Did you? You did. What did you wager? Oh, God. 20,000. What a payday. 46,801. What a game. Oh, my God.
Emma Betcher, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly, she dethroned Jeopardy James last night.
She
James
sure
Holzhauer
did.
Was beaten. Now, we mentioned that somebody leaked the footage earlier in the day, and it was everywhere.
It was.
Fox News, CNBC, everybody was running. Then there was the question of, was it fake? Was it real? It was very real.
And maybe we know who did leak it out.
Well, the folks at Jeopardy say they think they've got an idea who it is.
Yeah, they did.
Well, though, someone...
I'm saying they probably did, or at least they should have, based on what you're probably about to say.
The people at Jeopardy said they have a pretty good idea who did it, and they are pissed.
Why are they pissed?
Because they didn't want it leaked out.
How'd
there.
The rating?
It did really well.
Was it the best of all time?
No. Well, it was the best of his run.
Okay.
They did a 10.1 overnight, which was the best of Jeopardy James' run during this. To put it in perspective, Game 2 of the NBA Finals on Sunday night did a 10.2. They did a 10.1 for Jeopardy last night.
And knowing the result. So if they didn't know the result, why would it have been any different? I don't know what the normal numbers were. Like, last Thursday.
It's a lot less than that.
That's what I'm
assuming,
saying. So like in a weird way, and we talked about this yesterday, it's sort of like in the WWF Monday Night Wars, they tipped off that mankind, WCW gave out the results of a taped WWF event, and everybody went over to watch it. They knew what was going to happen, but they wanted to see how it happened. And that's what everybody did. They wanted to see how this unbeatable Jeopardy contestant was possibly going to lose. And I 100% think he was bored of the game and he threw it. But he didn't do so in a ridiculous way. He didn't do it where he had $0 or he got final wrong or anything like that.
Yeah, he would have lost if he had bet everything.
If he bet, yes, because
she was smart enough.
Yes. And she got both daily doubles in Double Jeopardy. So that was in her control, and you knew she was serious about it. The first daily double she got, she didn't make it a true daily double, but pretty damn close. And you're like, all right, he is in for a hell of a game right now. And then I know a lot of people are pointing to his really low bid as a reason why, but as Dale said, it didn't matter because
if he had bet everything,
and you knew that she would.
She was smart enough, she would have beaten him by a dollar.
And he also was basically just hoping, I guess, if you think he was trying to win, that she gets it wrong, and then he had enough money to beat the other guy, who the third-place guy actually had a pretty good haul himself.
Now,
he was doing all right.
I was working, so I didn't see it. Yeah. But I read today that for the entire show, there were only 3 questions that were missed.
Could be. Yeah, the 3 of them were on fire. The third-place guy had as much money as I've seen some winners have. So those 3 were all doing really well. Now, why I think he threw it, I think, first of all, I think he's bored. I think he wants to go back to Vegas and do his sports gambling and see his daughter or whatever else. I do think that is. He also had a card that his daughter gave him to give to Trebek at the beginning,
right,
to say get well soon. And he was also wearing like a ribbon, and I don't know how often he's been wearing the ribbon. I think he was done. I think he had a really good run, but I don't think he wanted to continue. Now, this lady was great. She got a ton of answers right, and she was
really
aggressive
smart
in the Daily Double, aggressive in the Final Jeopardy, but I still think Holzhauer wanted out.
Here's the point to back up Rossi's whole premise here, his Keefspiracy about ratings sweeps month.
Yes.
James Holzhauer had completely finished all of his Jeopardy tapings in April. In other words, they had everything in the can before they got to May.
Oh, that's a long time, huh?
Yeah.
He
was done, and I read this yesterday. He was done taping on like April 12th or something.
Oh, wow.
And they held it for May.
Yikes. And because they even had the teachers tournament in there that interrupted it, or so I thought.
The beginning of the month.
Yeah. So they really, that's kind of weird, huh? How they tape it. I call me an idiot. I used to think it was live. I really did.
I think that's the way they want you to think, because they say the days, like, oh, coming off Memorial Day weekend, like, they know where these things are going to be plotted.
I always thought they were live. This is sort of, obviously, taught us what it is, but what a hell of a run. Now, I don't think anybody's going to be interested in Jeopardy for a long time. Kind of out now.
Everyone's going to Chronicle.
Shime's going to retire as Dale and Keith Jeopardy champion. Congrats, Shime.
The two-time.
That's okay.
The article I've read here on Awful Announcing said, everything we've been taught to believe is that spoilers keep people from watching.
Nope.
But Jeopardy seems to be spoiler-proof. And in particular, this one, it was like, wait a minute, he got beat? I got to see what happened.
Well, there
here.
Was also at one point where he had a decent enough lead that I was like, maybe that was wrong. I'm like, how is he going to lose this? But it was just that woman hit both daily doubles and bet really aggressively the first time, and that's somewhat aggressively, like 3,000 on the second one. But she hit both of them, and that's how James had been beating everybody.
They also made an interesting point here that the audience for Jeopardy kind of skews older. And the thought here is that many of those viewers aren't on social media. They had no idea that it had been spoiled. They didn't know.
Yeah, but the reason
but the number
spike
went up because people who say, wait a minute, he got beat. I got to see how that happened.
Exactly.
But Jeopardy! James has gone back to normal life now. Which,
but Trebek did say we'll see him again, and so I'm
they'll
sure
do a
he
tournament
and Ken Jennings
of champions
will do
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah. I mean, he's a little strange. I mean, he's just
well. If you're going to win that many games of Jeopardy, you're not going to be not strange. You have to like he has all that knowledge in his head. He's going to be a little strange.
He scared her, you could tell. After she won.
High five right away. He couldn't be happier to leave that game. He is done with the game. He won, 34, 35 times? He won over $2 million. He's good.
It's come out that he has a lot of money. It's not like he needed the money.
Yeah, he even said, week two, he's like, I don't even need the money. You're like, okay.
And that's why I think a lot of people, it's been leaked out that he's given, two different charities over $100,000.
Oh, yeah, he was talking about all the Las Vegas public schools and stuff he was going to give a ton of money to.
Well, good for him, and now he'll sort of disappear. He'll come back for some Tournament of Champions week, and then he'll go away
next
again.
Sweeps. In the fall, he'll be on against Ken Jennings.
Do I get invited to the Tournament of Champions now, too?
They need a third guy, so it makes sense.
Let's see,
Ken
Shima
Jennings,
Watson.
James Holzhauer.
I don't want the computer. The computer's dumb. I don't want the computer. Well, the computer's not dumb, but you know what I mean? The idea of having the computer is dumb.
I got yesterday's Final Jeopardy question, right? That counts.
It does count. Good for you.
Now, Holzhauer pointed out on Twitter that he was, for this period of time, he was basically doing a job that was paying him $75,000 a day.
Pretty good.
So, the instinct in me says, who the hell wants to give up on that? But then we find out he's really independently wealthy. He really doesn't need this money.
Yeah. And, are you just going to have your family there outside of the Jeopardy studios there for months and months?
Daddy,
Go home. 617-779-7937.
We'll find out if Dino Costa does want to kick everyone's ass here and who he wants to start with. During Kiefer Madness at the bottom of the hour, we'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.